I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
That says it all. Love God, save souls, amen. Slay error. What else is there? Terry and Jesse show. I'm on duty. I'm reporting for the duty to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the 12-star general, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Terry, what about you?
Amen, brother. Jesse, I am honored every day to be able to share the gospel with people, the good news of Jesus Christ, and have a Catholic approach, or what we call a biblical worldview about life. Not political. I understand the politics. There's politics here. But basically, our worldview is not political. It's a worldview from Jesus Christ that every square inch is owned by Jesus Christ. And we have to proclaim that. We can't compromise. So today, we're going to be talking about, this is shocking, Jess. What a difference from a year ago, the National Prayer Service that President Trump had. Now we've got one with President Biden. And the people that he's featuring are completely different than what we had a year or two ago. Mm. Also, Jess, we're going to be talking with John Kerry. And this is so flippant. We talked about it last week about all the jobs that are lost because of the Alaskan pipeline with all that oil coming down. They're saying now the new administration, so what? You know, go to solar panels. Well, you know, easy to say, hard to do. I have solar panels, but it's not near what we need for our country. So that's really a crass statement. Also, John Kerry again, the guy that's telling us we have to eliminate, you know, all these green carbons and all. The knucklehead drives a private jet of his, you know, to all these different places, and he's telling everybody else, hey, ride your bike. See, I just find hypocrisy here. We're going to talk about that. And also, this is an interesting one, Jess. We haven't talked about this for a while. Islamic scholar says Muslims should leave the West to flee LGBT teachings. Wow. We'll talk about that. And one other quick note. Our own Joseph Strickland, Bishop Strickland, made it in the news from Bishop Strickland Hour on Virgin Most Powerful. Headlines. The media that we talked about yesterday needs to report the truth and not promote the dictatorship of moral relativism. Thank you, Bishop Strickland, and thank you, LifeSite News, for carrying that article. But we got so much more. But before we do that, we always bring the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Jess, could you share the gospel with us?
Absolutely. Mark chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. It reads, Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals but not a second tunic. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave from there. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You're going to hear an exegesis that you've never heard in the Catholic Church before.
Put your seatbelt on.
No, and I don't think one church in the world you've ever heard this.
Okay.
It's going to be new ground. Priests are going to take this for their homilies. Okay. Now, two things I want to make, but one point. Our Lord Jesus Christ is giving the apostles the power and authority over unclean spirits. What are unclean spirits? They're demons. They're fallen angels. Well, so what is the role at this point of the average lay Catholic? Can lay Catholics set up a group in the basement and, you know, have a couple of people and pray with them and start laying their hands over people that are diabolically afflicted and casting out demons. Can they do that? Well, let me tell you when this practice was stopped. So if you're doing this, you need to catch up with the church's teachings. While it is true, and there's historical fathers of the church like Cyprian, Tertullian, Irenaeus, in the early church, lay people used to drive out demons with prayer. Absolutely. Lay people, clergy, groups of lay people. But that stopped when? And the church has the authority to regulate practices. Though Christ gave this power to the baptized, specifically in context of today's reading to the apostles, but the baptized also had this power in some way, shape, or form, and they used it. But that was modified at the Council of Carthage in 398. The church says, okay, the ministry of exorcism is now going to be relegated entirely to priests who receive the authority from their bishop, and they're going to use a particular book with a set of prayers. So lay people, after 398 AD, they no longer were able, by the church's decree, to go out there and start casting out demons by praying over people with your right hand. Why did the church do that? Well, nothing's changed. It's that the church started seeing that a lot of lay Catholics started charging money to do this. Let's just say they were gifted. They had the charism, this gift of driving out demons and healing. They were charging exorbitant amounts of money. That's called usury.
That's right.
And so the church says, you got a lot of lay Catholics that are making a lot of money out of laying their hands on people and doing healing and deliverance. Also, other objectionable practices, you had a lot of lay people that were sexually abusing possessed women.
Yep.
They were making inappropriate advances to women that were coming to them that needed healing and deliverance from demons. And you had lay people that were sexually abusing women. So the church says this power that God gave us in today's gospel, Mark chapter 6, verses 7 to 13, we need to regulate this power under the authority of the bishop and those he delegates. And so we're going to make this part of the ecclesiastical powers of the priest, because after all, in today's gospel in Mark chapter 6, verse 17 to 13, it was actually given not to the lay people. It was given to the 12 apostles, but the lay people, this gift also comes upon us. How? By the laying on of the bishop's hands and by the sacrament of baptism. However, now the church has said that the power that lay people have to drive out demons is jurisdictional power, which means what? It means that lay people, we have the jurisdiction over ourselves entirely. I can drive out a demon over myself all day long with all the prayers of the church, and so can Terry for himself. So there's jurisdictional power, and also the jurisdictional power also flows down your family line, so I can pray healing and deliverance for my wife and my kids and my progeny. Terry?
Jesse, I wish you could go further on that. That's a great teaching, bro. No, it really is, and you won't hear it anywhere else. Hey, I want to bring the smartest guy into the room. Okay, Bishop Sheen has a story in his life of Christ. It's a quick story about peace. He said, when Chile and Argentina were about to go to war, this was way back in the 50s, I think, Jess, it was suggested of a woman that the cannons of the two nations be melted and made into a statue of Jesus Christ and placed at the beginning of at the front of the mountain on the Andes. And it bears this inscription: sooner shall these mountains crumble than this pact of peace entered into at the feet of Christ between these two nations shall be broken. And that pact has never been broken. Jess, I had forgotten they did that years ago. What a great story of peace in our world. Full sheen ahead, Jess. All right. Hey, Jess, just a quick question about what you, I want to clarify something. this is all on spiritual warfare. And don't forget, everybody, you can pick up those spiritual warfare recordings by going to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Real quick, Jess, not only the blessing that you can as a father, you bless your grandchildren, correct?
Yes, that's the Bible allows the patriarch to bless their grandchildren as well.
Yep.
It's right in Scripture. You have Israel, whose son Joseph comes up to him and says, "Dad, can you bless my children?" He goes, "Well, bring your kids over here." And he puts his right hand over their head, and he does a priestly blessing. So absolutely, it's biblical.
Awesome. And I want to recommend everyone start doing that if you're not doing it now. I find with my grandson, when I put him to sleep, I'm there for 30 minutes praying over him.
Amen.
I mean, the rosary, if God was called this young man to become a priest, then he'd be a good priest. And I mean, I'm going through all that. Why not? I'm the grandfather.
Absolutely.
It would be a sin of omission if I don't do it.
Not to do that. Correct.
That's my opinion. I'm right there with him. Hey, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We have one focus, to get to heaven.
Yeah. And if you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified, and share the show with others. I think you'll like what you hear.
Yeah, we're going to bring over 30,000 likes now around the world. So keep doing that. We're praising God doing that. And also, just so you know, we don't take any revenue from YouTube. One of my listeners today called me and says, "Hey, up my monthly donation. I know you're not taking money from YouTube anymore, but they're leaving us alone now." So that's fine with us. We'll get the funds from other sources. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I always like to say it, we're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, Jess and I, hey, a whole team here, we'd be billionaires because we know our hope is in Christ. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Does this surprise you? At the National Prayer Service for Biden, the Biden regime, they featured trans activists, Catholic nuns, and Quran reading. Yep. In the inaugural interfaith prayer service, which was hosted a few days ago in the Washington, D.C.'s National Cathedral to honor the first full day of Joe Biden's presidency, both Biden and Kamala Harris attended the event virtually with their respective families from the White House. And after a lengthy opening sequence comprising organ music in this Episcopal Cathedral, you have the Episcopal Bishop, Protestant Bishop, Bishop Marianne Edgar Buddy, a female. She removed her mask to welcome Biden and Harris to the service, as well as their families, who, she says, who all seek the common good of the United States of America. Close quote. I disagree with her. They don't seek the common good. They seek the liberal Marxist good, not the common good. The article says that cathedral administrators said a brief prayer. They did the Star Spangled Banner, sung by Patti LaBelle. Of course, always bringing actors and, you know, entertainers. And the appearances were made by leaders of numerous faiths. You had the Greek Orthodox Archbishop. He prayed that the president might rule, quote, with a keen sense of justice, so that all Americans can have confidence that their rights as citizens will always be defended and protected, close quote. That's a good prayer. Too bad that prayer is not going to be listened to by this administration. They're not going to provide sense of justice to all Americans, especially the unborn. Who else prayed? There was a large rainbow flag, again, the promotion of the LGBT community. Rabbi Sharon Kleinbaum, another female, shared a reading from Deuteronomy, and she included a passage that makes reference to the Israelites welcoming strangers. Another female rabbi, Sharon Brous, she also said, quote, "In the midst of the pandemic, in the shadow of violent insurrection, we lift up the ancient Jewish promise that after a long night of suffering, a redemptive dawn will come." She also made a reference to the newly sworn administration. She asked God, this female rabbi, Rabbi Brous, asked God to give American people strength to usher in the new dawn, the dawn of a new America, a justice-driven, multiracial democracy. And despite Biden's moves to overturn pro-life policies enacted by the Trump administration, the female Rabbi Brous determined that the New America will affirm, quote, that every one of us deserves to live in full dignity, close quote. Once again, these prayers fell on deaf ears because Biden has already signed the Mexico City policy, which basically nullified anybody's prayers in this dog and pony show to afford justice for everyone. She also closed out her prayer by asking Americans to prioritize healing, protecting, and sustaining the earth. And she also prayed to abolish the heresy of white supremacy. So again, this rabbi, we have another Mother Earth prayer.
Yeah.
And the biggest sin right now, Terry, according to liberal American Marxists, is to be a successful white male.
See, that's the thing that got me. The female rabbi prayed at the end of the ceremony to the heresy of white supremacy. You know, just tell that to the thousands and millions of people who come to America because of persecution. Why are they coming to America? If we're that bad, they're crazy. And then who are they forgetting? The unborn. Are you kidding me? The heresy of white supremacy. I say the heresy of abortion, killing unborn babies. They can't see anything. And this is what saddened me, Jesse, is the contrast between these two administrations. One, the Trump administration. Can you imagine this, Jess, when Christmas comes? President Trump told everybody to say Merry Christmas, right? I can imagine what
that's
this
over.
New administration
that's
is
over.
Say. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just, and here's the other
back
thing.
Back to happy holidays.
Jesse, I just want to make this point. I've said it 100 times. Almost 50% of Catholics voted for this administration. Okay. Is this microphone on? Almost 50% of Catholics supporting this agenda. He said that he was going to do all this. The problem was, Jess,
no
and I keep repeating this, is that we in the church didn't want to get into politics. We didn't want to say, hey, this guy's for this and that. No, we can't do that. Yeah, well, we're paying a price right now. Matter of fact, we're not paying the price. The babies are paying the ultimate price. I'm done, Jess.
That's right. You also had Catholic nuns there.
Yeah, they liberal were, nuns.
Yeah, Catholic ecumenical nuns.
They looked like real estate agents.
Yeah, they were Catholic social justice workers. Yep. They didn't have habitless nuns.
Yep.
They also showed the Muslim community, the president of the Muslim community, Dr. Debbie Altmontazer, pronounced a reading from the Quran. She said this, quote, to him, Allah, belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, and to Allah all matters are returned. Believe in Allah and his messenger. Who's his messenger? Muhammad. Okay, guess what? That pronouncement right there directly conflicts with the teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to which Joe Biden professes to believe. So do you believe in Jesus Christ as God's final voice on earth or Muhammad? Joe Biden is a confused Catholic. He is the fruits.
That's being charitable.
Of the poor catechesis after Vatican II. Nancy Pelosi.
Same thing.
And Joe Biden are the fruits
of
Vatican II. I'm going to just going to say it. People are going to get all upset.
No, it's a fact.
Yeah, yeah. And what am I saying about the fruits of the Vatican? I mean, there are some the bad fruits of Vatican II are that catechesis essentially went out the window, and now there's more of an emphasis on how you feel, on how Catholicism feels, on your emotions, but the intellect, that basically went out the window for many years. Biden and Pelosi are victims of that. Now, Terry, it says this, common things running through the prayers were for unity, compassion, healing, against racism, for the people on the margins of society, those with COVID-19, and those whose lives are closely linked with ours. So they had all these social justice prayers at the Biden inauguration. Terry, they never prayed against the things that really offend God, like the seven deadly sins. Like that really offends God.
Right.
Or they didn't pray against things that really offend God, like the four sins that cry to heaven for vengeance. No. Again, we're looking here at the social justice Catholics, Biden and Pelosi and company, and they've basically supplanted the one true faith. The social justice Catholics, this is a subversion of the church for purely political and earthly ends. And the social justice Catholics now in the White House, they've co-opted or they're trying to co-opt the doctrine of the church to advance a worldly view, a worldly vision of civilization. But they try to dress it up with religious and spiritual sounding language to confuse the low information Catholic to make it appear holy and beyond criticism. Terry, but this is nothing but a dog and pony show. This is social justice Catholicism. Now we have it in the White House, the Speaker of the House, and the Supreme Court Justice of America. We have social justice Catholics who basically have their Catholicism. It's a horizontal religion, not a vertical one.
Yes. Oh, let's just be honest. We're living with two kinds of countries right now. We have the moral relativists who just say truth changes. And then we have people in America who believe that our rights come from God, not from man, and that we'll follow the teachings of Christ. So the country's got, it's split. You got half the people wanting this, half the people who want moral teachings and teachings from Christ. And then you have the others who just want whatever you think, whatever feels good, you do it. So I can see it right now. Just look in our country. We're so polarized, but not only our country, Jess, it's our church also. Let's be honest. I know it's embarrassing to say that, but look at what's going on in our church. And you say, you've got two churches. You got one who want to stick to the perennial teachings of the church. And then you got another one who says, hey, let's change the teachings like Father Martin's doing. He wants, let's change the teachings on same-sex marriage. I know what he said about St. Paul. St. Paul said it. He says, I don't agree with St. Paul. These are people in our church that need to be shut down because they're misleading people. And that's a problem, not only in our country, Jess, but in our church. What's going on in the country is the same thing that's going on in our church. That's my point.
And I'll tell you what's so dangerous is that these fake Catholics, they're teaming up with fake news to mislead Catholics.
Yep.
And there's a real temptation for a Catholic, whether he's a layman or a clergy, there's a real temptation to allow himself to become a liberal. In fact, there's an entire book written on this. It's called Liberalism is a Sin.
It was written like
150 years ago.
Great book.
And the book basically says that you constantly have to fight against liberalism because it's like oil. It's easy to slip down the path of liberalism. You always have to put on the seatbelt and fight against it.
Right.
And Terry, I noticed that these social justice liberal Catholics, they have selective moral outrage. They're so upset about carbon emissions. They're so upset about fossil fuel. But Terry, they don't seem to be upset about killing a baby in a mother's womb. They don't seem to be upset about spurning God's law by marrying two men or marrying two women. They have selective moral outrage.
Like I said, there's two countries we're living in. One country here in America says, "Hey, the sin of racism, the sin of you're driving too much your car. You know, stop driving, get on a bike." And they forget totally about what God's laws are regarding sacredness of life. This is the challenge we're faced with. But remember, everybody, today's Thursday. We dedicate the day to the Holy Eucharist. This is a beautiful day to get to the Blessed Sacrament because, remember, it's impossible to measure the spiritual benefits and graces granted to those who spend time in the presence of our Lord and Savior in the Blessed Sacrament. And remember, folks, as members of the church, the mystical body of Christ, your actions, our actions, and prayers bear fruit. Every devout reception of Holy Communion, every good confession, every prayer has positive ramifications for the Holy Church. So I want to invite everybody tonight. We're going to be here at 8 o'clock to pray for our priests, for our bishops, and the Holy Father to commemorate the institution of the priesthood and the Holy Eucharist.
Terry, political liberals and theological liberals in our church, they're connected to each other like the two rails on a train track.
Yep.
And it reminds me of the words of Dennis Prager, a very thoughtful Jewish man.
Yep.
He says, from the Boy Scouts to literature, from the arts to universities, the left ruins everything it touches.
True.
The left ruins everything it touches. And the bishops, if you want to know why we're at where we're at right now, The bishops made a statement in 1998, which is very, very good, very prophetic. They said, we get the officials we deserve. Their virtue or lack thereof is a judgment not only on them, but on us. Close quote. Terry.
Well, that's what they said in the Philippines with Cardinal Sin. The same thing. We got the leaders we deserve. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We had 4 years of an incredible economy, and that's one of the things that the Catholic Church places a high premium on, is people going to work. The church has a very high view of work. People find dignity when they work, but things are taking a turn for the worse. John Kerry was just made the czar by Joe Biden, and John Kerry, he says that the gas industry workers who lost their jobs can now go make solar panels. So the Biden administration has admitted to killing jobs in the fossil fuel industry, but it insists that workers can find livelihoods in other growing sectors such as solar panels. And John Kerry, the U.S. Special Presidential Envoy for Climate, he also said that Joe Biden is doing what needs to be done to combat climate change and cracking down on the coal and oil and gas industries. He said that the crisis of climate change underscored the need for investment in clean energy sectors, and that workers in fossil fuels industries have been fed a false narrative about the future of their industries. Terry, as you read this article, you're going to see that that this administration, again, they place a higher premium on the earth,
of course,
on matter, on the ecology, than they do on the human person. That's a classic sign of paganism and secular humanism, is when the earth becomes more important than human life. Terry?
You know, Jesse, this was done at the debate with President Trump and Joe Biden. If you recall, I don't think it was the second debate or the first. He said, I am going to shut this down. And I heard Trump saying, you can lose the election over that. And it's interesting, Jesse. I still can't figure it out. And I'm not going to question. I'm just saying, he told everybody that he was going to do this. All these people are going to lose jobs. I find it hard to believe that those people would have voted for him knowing that he was going to take their job away. That's just a thought, Jess. I'm just throwing it out that this was full disclosure. He is upfront about the environment, that he would take these jobs away, and he did exactly what he said. And so it's just still puzzling to me that you're going to tell me those people voted for him. I doubt it.
That's right. And so Kerry also said, John Kerry, he said at a press conference that his message to the fossil fuel industry workers who are worried about losing their livelihoods. And again, the Biden administration cracked down on this industry. He wants to put the fossil fuel executives on notice with these recent aggressive policies to tamp down fossil fuel production.
Yep.
And President Biden said, we didn't come here to put anybody on notice. Kerry said, we didn't come here to put anybody on notice except to the seriousness of Biden's intent to do what needs to be done with this crisis. And it is a crisis. So the left keeps talking about, again, this carbon footprint to this, fossil fuel, that this is going to be the end of the world. They're all like doomsday prophets, and I would call them false prophets, these false prophets of doom. And Kerry went on to blame the losses in the fossil fuel sectors on market forces, shifting responsibility away from the Biden administration. So notice what Kerry's doing, because they're both friends, okay? Kerry, by not blaming Biden specifically for the job losses of the fossil fuel, again, this is gaslighting, okay?
Oh, yeah.
When they're saying 1 + 1 is not 2, it's 5. 1 + 1 is 5. You're saying, no. There's 75,000 people that were working under President Trump. Now Biden comes in, they all lost their jobs. No. That's not what happened. There's market forces that are shifting. Well, who shifted the market forces? Biden did with his executive order. And so Kerry, by not blaming Biden specifically for the job losses of the fossil fuel employees by his executive order, he's gaslighting us. He's gaslighting the American public. He's trying to manipulate us psychologically, saying, what you're seeing is not what you're seeing. I didn't do this. Market forces are causing this. This is psychological manipulation being used by Joe Biden and the mainstream media. They're saying, don't look at the facts. Don't look at my executive orders. Just believe our narrative, Terry.
Jesse, I really do like the Heritage Foundation. They did a net zero emissions by 2050, which the Heritage Foundation said this is what they're wanting. He said it would cost the economy millions of jobs, thousands of dollars in lost household income, and trillions erased from the nation's gross domestic product. Trillions. Now, the conservative nonprofit used the energy information to forecast the impact of steep carbon taxes aimed at reaching net zero greenhouse gas emissions. Not only did this model crash, Jesse, hey, man, it failed to approach anywhere near the goal outlined in the GND. So the closing... The closest the Heritage Foundation was able to get was maybe a 58% reduction in emissions, achieving through a $300 carbon tax. Taxes above 300 crashed the model. So here's the point, Jess. Not only do these people, it doesn't make sense. You know what I've noticed, though, that people who are extremists about the environment, I've noticed that many of them, I'm not all of them, Jess, but generally speaking, they don't have a eternal view on life. They think this is all we get. This planet is all we get. So guess what? We got to make it last, and we got to figure out ways to be healthier because we're going to be here. This is it. And I question really a lot of the people who do this because many of them don't believe in a supernatural outlook of life because they put all their emphasis on here and today, and that's not what Christianity is all about.
Yeah, this article gets into the weeds, so you can read it for yourself. We don't want to get into all the technical data because you'll all fall asleep.
Yep.
But the two articles are called, the first one is called, and you can get it from the show page, vmp.org or jesseromero.com. Mm-hmm. The first article is called John Kerry, Gas Industry Workers Who Lose Their Jobs Can Go Make the Solar Panels. The second article is called John Kerry Family Private Jet Emitted Estimated 116 Metric Tons of Carbon Over the Past Year. Two well-written articles. And again, Biden's executive order, which continues fossil fuel crackdowns, and he also plans to suspend new oil drilling permits on federal land. And so I feel sorry for all these young guys. Probably bought their first house, mm-hmm. making mortgage payments, starting families, probably newly married. Thousands and thousands of these young guys lost their job overnight. And the hypocrisy, Terry, is this, that again, the second article, which it just gets too technical.
Yeah.
It just talks about the fact that John Kerry is a class one hypocrite.
Yep.
Because this presidential envoy, he flies around in a private jet and this private jet of his.
Yeah.
Talk about leaving a large carbon footprint. Once again, it says that Kerry's plane accumulated an estimated 116 metric tons of carbon between trips. Okay. Now you compare that to the typical passenger car, which emits about 4.6 metric tons of carbon dioxide per year. So that calculation that a car drive, you know, somebody who says that a car that drives around, you know, 12,000 miles a year with a fuel economy of about 22 miles per gallon is a dangerous, not even close. The fact of the matter is what John Kerry and all these other rich and famous people do with their private charter jets. If you want to get technical, these private jets emit upward of 40 times as much carbon per passenger as commercial flights. So why doesn't Kerry sit next to me whenever I go fly it on the weekends on Southwest and go to my parish events? The fact is that Kerry and Biden's policies are a threat to us as people who want to work people of faith. But they're calling their policies a national security threat. They're looking at quote unquote climate change, like, you know, being attacked by the Russians or the Japanese, and you know, and or you know, the North North Koreans in the Korean War.
Yeah.
They're looking at these people like, again, like this is an army that's out to attack us. And there's good information coming out from the Heritage Foundation, which, again, like Terry says, their goal is, Kerry and Biden, is to have net zero emissions by 2015, have us all driving these electric little cars that look like eggs around, you know, around the country. And these people, Terry, they're all false prophets of doom. Bernie Sanders, yeah. Ocasio-Cortez, they're all in on this. They're all like Chicken Little, saying the world is going to end if we don't adopt these measures. These measures are nothing but a false religion masked under a political umbrella. It's a false religion called socialism and Marxism.
Well said. Hey, I want to remind everybody, for Lent, we're going to have a retreat, 3 nights, with Father Wolfgang from the Opus Angelorum. The topics are going to be the greatness of St. Joseph on Monday, which will be the 22nd of February. So it's the following Monday after Ash Wednesday here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina. Number two, Tuesday night, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Refuge and Salvation. Number three, talking about Fatima. And this is an opportunity for all of our listeners to possibly apply for a formation year towards the consecration to your guardian angel. This is going to be great. It's going to be a silent, well, we'll have a silent retreat here for 3 nights. And it'll be starting at 5:30 with confessions on the 22nd of February, Holy Mass at 6:30, and the conference at 7:15. You won't want to miss it. It's, we do this every year. You want spirituality? You want to be fed? Come to our Sacred Heart Chapel. And the best way to get a hold of anybody of us, always just call us at 877-526-2151. I want to recommend you go to their website, opusangelorum.org, or call them at 330-969-9900. When we come back, we'll continue the last segment here on the Terry and Jesse Show. And again, people have been telling me, Jess, the Spiritual Warfare Conference from last month, they just loved it. And I want people to take advantage of that by going to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And I also want to thank all those who've called me this morning being monthly donors. They made a comment. They said, look, I'm switching. I'm going to Virgin Most Powerful. There, you guys are feeding me the Catholic faith, and I thank them for that. We'll be right back with more.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Here's a good statement that I agree with, in part, not the way they carry, not the way they enforce it, but at least in terms of the theology. There's an Islamic scholar who says Muslims should leave the West to flee LGBT teachings. I agree with that. The West is it's destroying Christianity. It's destroying it's destroying monotheistic religions.
Of course.
So this Islamic scholar, he says that if you stay in the West, that you're sinning. He gave an interview during which he said that Muslims should leave Western countries and return to their home countries, primarily to avoid their children being taught about LGBT issues. The comments were made by Abdul Rahman Hassam during an appearance on a YouTube show.
In England, yep.
He said, quote, anyone that knows they have the ability to migrate, to go to their home country where they're originally from.
Yep.
He said Hassam, he said, if they remain in Western countries, they're sinning. He says, you're giving your children to the enemies who are going to destroy your child's mindset and thinking. And again, he's an Islamic theologian and scholar. He went on to highlight how thousands of Muslim children have been forcibly taken from their parents by social services in the UK.
That's right.
He says, this child has been taken from his parents, maybe because she was forcing him to pray. This child, he can be taken care of by an LGBT family. And this guy, Hassam, this Muslim theologian said, in the West today, we have an issue of morality and a dignity issue. Totally agree with him. Against, for example, homosexuality. Hence, why we're saying to the people, leave the UK, because however good you are, you're more than you. They influence you. And so the clash between the teaching of LGBT issues and the Muslim faith came to a head in the UK at the Parkfield Community School in Birmingham, where 98% of the students are Muslim. Wow. So the curriculum that was implemented in that school taught tolerance of homosexuality and other LGBT subjects was vehemently opposed by the community, with numerous protests taking place outside the school. And then a judge asserted that the protest had been hijacked by extremist groups, which had lied about the program normalizing pedophilia. The protests were effectively outlawed by the creation of an exclusion zone around the school. Terry, your comments?
Oh, I have a big comment. I admire this Muslim. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do, Jesse. Just like I admired them back in the 90s for protecting, saying abortion was wrong and it was murder. And we actually connected with the Vatican and Muslims to stop the killing of innocent life.
Against Clinton.
And so I have to say, it's not often I can say this, Jesse.
Right. Right.
That I agree with these Muslims that they're. But you know what it really made me think while I was listening to you, Jess, and maybe our listeners are thinking this way. They're standing up. You know, the silence we've had for Christianity has been deafening. In other words, we need to do what they're saying also. We need to stand up for what we believe. I just get motivated when I see anybody stand up for what they believe and they, you know, just say, look, here's my reasons why this is not good. But the people who are indifferent, I think our Lord called it lukewarmness. And I think that's the challenge I have in our own church, the lukewarmness for us not to be standing up for the unborn, standing up for marriage between a man and a woman. Silence is what I think I've always quoted Pope Felix III that says, not to oppose error is to approve it, not to defend truth is to suppress it, and indeed to neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. Sins of omission, that's my point. So I'm motivated by this Islamic scholar. It makes me want to speak up more.
Yeah, lukewarmness and indifferentism,
it's
in the catechism. It's a violation of the first commandment.
Mm-hmm.
And many Catholics are guilty of lukewarmness and indifferentism. This Muslim is not.
Nope.
Now, let me tell you the difference between, though I agree with his theology that homosexuality is wrong because it goes against human nature and it goes against divine law. And again, even medically, it leads to more higher depression, higher rates of suicide, more incidence of alcoholism and drug abuse. So it's bad on a medical, on a natural, and on a spiritual level. However, according to Sharia law, what Sharia law stipulates that if they catch a person in practicing homosexuality in an Islamic country under Sharia law, Sharia law stipulates the death penalty
for men.
For men.
Yeah. Women are different. I looked into it. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah. And so, well, women actually have a kind of a harsher treatment.
They do.
Yeah, they have a harsher treatment,
but they don't get killed.
Yeah,
go ahead.
They get killed for adultery.
Yeah,
and any guy could accuse him of adultery.
Right.
So the fact is that Sharia law stipulates the death penalty for homosexuals. In fact, you could watch it on YouTube. The death penalty for homosexuals is practiced even right now. What they do is they'll either cut their heads off in public on Saturday nights in different Sharia law countries, or they'll tie their hands behind their back and throw them off like a 5-story building, which basically, you know, secures their death. And so although we as Catholics and Muslims, we would agree that homosexuality is intrinsically evil and morally disordered, we have a different approach because Catholics,
conversion.
we don't call for the death penalty of homosexuals. We call for their repentance and conversion. And in fact, if you want to know, I'm looking here from a National Catholic Register article. It says 25% of the world's AIDS patients are taken care of
in Catholic hospices for free. More often than not, faith-based groups work without financial help from the local and federal governments. The Catholic Church operates 117 hospices around the world where AIDS patients are being taken care of medically until they have a peaceful death. So, Catholics, this is what we do for those people that are homosexual and practice that lifestyle and have suffered the consequences of their action. We reach out to them, to their soul, with the gospel, with the sacraments, and we reach out to their body by taking care of them until they reach a natural death. Muslims cut their head off once they identify them or throw them off of buildings.
Well, a way I say it is hate the sin, love the sinner. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the difference between Islam and Christianity. They don't have any idea about forgiveness, and you know they just don't have it. But hey, we hate the sin, but we love the sinner. That's why I say to anybody who's had an abortion, our Lord is there to forgive you for that. You need to go to confession. Those who are practicing active homosexuality, go to confession. Say, Jesus, I need the grace. And the Catholic Church teaches that every single person, God will give the grace for your salvation. So when you hear people say, oh, it's just the way I am, I can't change, that's a lie. We can all change. As a matter of fact, I'll just say it as simple as I can. That's denying divine grace in a soul. When you live according to God's laws, God will give you the necessary graces for your salvation. That's just Catholic teaching.
Now, I will tell you that as Catholics, once again, theologically, not in practice what they do, but theologically, we agree with the Muslims on the actual gravity of the sin of homosexuality, because the Catechism calls homosexuality, the practice of it, it calls it one of the sins that cries to heaven.
That's true.
In paragraph 1867, it says, the catechetical tradition also recalls that there are sins that cry to heaven. In other words, these are the worst sins in the Bible. And there are four. And by the way, Biden's guilty of all of them. His administration. Watch. The blood of Abel. What does that mean? Killing an innocent person. Not killing, okay? Murder. Murder is the killing of an innocent person. The Biden administration is guilty of this. Abortion. Check that one off. So they're in violation of the one of four sins that cry to heaven. Number two. The sins of the sodomites. That's practicing homosexuality. Biden has married homosexuals. So is Kamala Harris, and Biden is completely pro-homosexual, and you can see this by his executive orders. So he's guilty of violating the second sin that the Catholic Church calls one of the four sins that cry the vengeance of God in heaven. Number three, the third sin, it says, the cry of the people oppressed in Egypt, the cry of the foreigner, the widow, and the orphan. Although Biden may seem to be a friend of the orphan and the person that's illegal, no, he's not. He just signed the Mexico City policy, which gives federal dollars now to every country, especially third world countries. If you want to have an abortion, send us the bill. Not a problem. We'll pay for the killing of your baby. So how does that help a person? How does that help the stranger or the alien in a third world country if we're paying to have their babies killed? We're reducing their population. Didn't God say, be fruitful and multiply? Well, not Biden. He doesn't agree with that. And the fourth thing in the catechism that God says is one of the four sins that cry to heaven, injustice to the wage earner. In other words, ripping people off. Biden in the first week has ripped off tens of thousands of American workers because by executive order with this false science called climate change has got rid of their job, Terry. And that's one of the four sins that cry to heaven is ripping off a worker. Biden just ripped off 100,000 young Americans from supporting their family. Joe Biden is guilty of all the four sins that scream the vengeance of God in paragraph 1867 of the Catholic.
I'd like to pray for him because he's a Catholic, Jess. As you know, he's baptized. Not practicing, in my humble opinion, because of what we just demonstrated. Yeah. But let's pray.
Yeah, never pray for his intentions. Pray for his conversion.
No! Are you kidding? I'm praying for his conversion.
Never
Father,
pray for
Son,
his Father,
Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us, and let's pray for the whole administration that they will have a metanoia. We use that term in Greek, a conversion, a turnaround, because where we're going right now, he's leading America to destruction. I'm sorry. That's what he's doing, Jess. Can't say it any nicer. Jess, what do we need to do to get to heaven, brother?
We need to live and die in a state of grace.
Amen.
In a friendship with God, free from mortal sin.
Yep.
Even fighting against venial sin.
Yep.
So pray your rosary every day.
Yep.
Number two, go to Mass as often as possible. Number three, read your Bible every day. Number four, enter into a life of penance, especially Fridays and Wednesdays. And number five, make sure you're going to at least monthly confession so that your soul is ready to meet the Lord one day.
Up next is Dr. Sandoval's show. He's got a special guest that I've known for about 35 years. I'm going to tease you. She's an amazing woman, and she's been in Catholic education all her life. And she's Orthodox. I want you to listen to the next show with the doctors in, Dr. Sandoval, by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. If you can't get it on your station, download our app or watch it on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. Full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you and your family. And thanks again for promoting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you.